I greet you in the name of Jesus. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I want to bid each and every one of you a hearty welcome here this morning. And also we have guests here from Texas, Bishop Isaac Fares and their two youngest children. Welcome. And also the rest of you are also hearty welcome. If we have other guests in our midst, may you also feel the love of God in our midst. This morning we want to look at being the salt and the light of this world. But before we do that, we want to look at, but let us first of all unite our hearts for opening prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you have given us. May this day be a day where your light will shine through us to a lost world that is in darkness. We thank you for sending your Son that freed us from darkness and sin, so that we can have peace and joy, even though we live in a world that surrounds us with sin. We thank you for not only sending your Son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, but also for raising him from the grave, showing us that the grave cannot keep us, and that Jesus ascended to heaven to over here on this earth. We also ask that you will be in our midst this morning with your Spirit, knowing that where your Spirit is, the evil spirits don't have room. May you lead and guide us in this morning's service. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Take a red book and turn to number 338. Sing them over again to me. 338.
Them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, words of life and beauty. Teach me faith and duty, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Wonderful words, wonderful words of love. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinnerless to the loving call, wonderful words of life. All so freely given, wonderful words of love. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctified forever, beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of love.
Page 413.
Stars of shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. He will gather, bright crown adoring. They shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Little children, who love their Redeemer, are the jewels, precious jewels, his loved and his own. Like the stars of, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
When he cometh, not if he cometh. We all know how important light is. Light is the opposite of darkness. Light has a characteristic of welcome. In the evening, if you find a house that has the light on, it means someone is home and you are welcome. But whereas John chapter 1, verses 4 and 5 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. The essentials for human life is light. If essentially it is the same. But spiritually, Jesus is that light. Jesus is the living bread that came down from heaven. He provides the guidance and direction necessary for us. It is one thing to exist, quite another to have life, to know the true purpose of life, and to know the way to heaven. Yes, the same one who gave us life is also the one who provides us with that light for the pathway to that eternal home. And we have to make a choice. Do we like to have the light, or do we like to have the darkness? In whichever we choose will control our actions. Yes, those that believe in Christ are the sons of light. And just as that first creation began, let there be light, so the new creation begins with the entrance of light into the heart of the believer. Yes, the coming of Jesus Christ was the dawning of a new day for sinful man. 1 verse 78 and 79. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high hath visited us, to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Yes, Christ's coming is likened unto the sunrise. The world had been in darkness and was waiting for this light, like Simeon and Anna, who had been waiting for this day, for the Messiah to come, for many years, and they lived to experience it. The question is, are we experiencing this light? This light that came brought conflict. And what is it? Yes, Satan is trying to destroy the light. He tried to destroy it shortly after this light came, when we read the story of King Herod, where he killed all those children, hoping that he would also kill that light, Jesus. John 1, John 1, verse 11, says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." His own might mean all of mankind. Yes, most of mankind rejected him when he came. In a special sense, he's talking to the Jewish nation. He came as their Messiah, the one that they had been promised, but they would not receive him. Gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Meaning, the world is in the darkness of sin, but Jesus came to bring light. The unsaved are walking in darkness because they love darkness. Apart from Jesus, there is no deliverance from the blackness of sin. Apart from Jesus, there is no guidance along the way, no knowledge of the real meaning of life or eternity. But those have the light of life. To follow Jesus means to come to him in repentance, to trust him as our Lord and Savior, and then commit one's whole life to him. And those that do have guidance in life and also a lively hope beyond the grave. Yes, there is quite a contrast between those that walk in darkness and those that walk in the light. We are in Jesus. He is in us. We are one. So then how does this light shine in the world? Of influence, not only how our life matters to ourselves, but also how it matters to others. Matthew 5, verses 6 and 13 to 16. "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and still cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And when we read Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7, this is the longest recorded sermon that Christ has preached. We always refer that to the Sermon on the Mount. There is so much instructions for us as Christians in that Sermon on the Mount that if we are serious about living the Christian life, we should be familiar. We want to remember that the way that we live our life not only matters to us, but also to others as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, says, "Ye are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." You know, we do not need a sign in our foreheads saying that we are Christians. Our life, our actions, our behaviors are observed by all people. He refers to it as a written letter that is read by all of those we associate with. And this can be a scary thought. Even if our intentions are good, it is still my continued prayer that I may not offend someone with my words or my actions. And it is important that we don't allow our emotions to control us. In Matthew 5, we find that the salt and the light, they are two good things. More flavor, we ask for the salt shaker. When we walk into a dark room, we flick on the switch. In a spiritual sense, salt and light serve the same purpose. Jesus likened his disciples to salt. Their witness to the world should be flavorful as salt is to food. Salt seasons the food. Salt hinders the food from decaying. It creates thirst and it brings out the flavor. Yes, Jesus wanted his disciples to be a positive influence for me. Jesus does not say that we are to salt and light the world, but he says that we are the salt and the light of the world. And as Christians, we don't have an option here. But we have an option in how flavorful our salt will be. And we have an option how bright we will allow our light to shine. Yes, Jesus wanted his disciples to provide a part may be blessed by their presence and by their attitudes. In Mark chapter 9, verse 50, says, "Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace one with another." With our words and our actions, we need to model the words and actions of Christ. We are not Christ, but we are a reflection of him. And the natural process of meat is, if unattended, is to spoil, to decay, but salt acts as a preservative that will keep it from for the body. Christ says, we are the salt. We are the preservative of society where there is so much decay. We don't need to read a lot of newspapers or listen to the news to learn about the spoil and decay and destruction. It is not always far away. It is very near to us. We have enough of that in our own society. Yes, the forces of evil are at work all around us. We find false religions, destruction of families, alternate lifestyles, anger, bitterness, and so much more. There is so much decay. Christ reminds us that we are the preservatives. And if we don't do what he has asked us to do, the decay and spoil will continue. And he also says, if the salt has lost its flavor, it is no good. And in biblical times, that kind of salt was used as pathways, was used to be trodden upon. Yes, God wants us to be his words in your heart. And so let us all kneel in prayer and pray in the name of Jesus. May the Lord hear our prayers and be merciful unto us.
From the Blue Book, number 145, Whiter Than Snow. For those that are able, please stand.
Jesus also calls us to be the light of the world. He spoke of himself as the light of the world in John chapter 8, verse 12. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Christ reminds us as his disciples that he is a source of light and that we as Christians are a reflection of his light. Our purpose is to shine for him, just like the moon reflects the glory of the sun. And when I evaluate my own actions, my words, and my attitudes, I must admit they have not always been the reflection of Jesus Christ. We as Christians have been called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Now one might ask, what does this mean? And how can I do this? And at the very beginning of the sermon about the Beatitudes, or in other words, blessings, or may his favor or approval come upon them that do them. And if you strive to be the ideal citizens of Christ's kingdom, then let's evaluate ourselves in the light of the Beatitudes. These qualities or characteristics are quite opposite of what the world or the ungodly would value. Are we also living by the Beatitudes? We should be aware of the fact that if we want to be the salt of the earth and the light of this world, that we need to follow the teachings of Jesus and the Beatitudes. So let us go and take a look at them in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 to 12. He says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In other words, we acknowledge our helplessness on God's strength to fulfill those spiritual needs. Verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." This does not mean that we are to walk about in a depressed state of mind, but it means that we are to mourn over our own sinfulness and over the sinful condition of all those that have rejected the salvation of Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." Take on the spirit of Christ to become meek or gentle. A meek person is gentle and mild, seeking to follow the example of Christ. Verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Too often, we hunger for material possessions, for power and control. But here, we read of spiritual hunger, people who really strive to be like Jesus. And verse 7 says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy." We are to show mercy, not revenge, but to be actively compassionate, to practice empathy, and we will be rewarded, he says. Verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." A pure-hearted individual is one whose motives are unmixed, whose motives are Christ-like, whose thoughts are holy, whose conscience is clear. Verse 9, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." But to be active in intervening to bring peace. I believe you all want to be known as peacemakers, not as troublemakers. And verse 10 says, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It is not easy to be a dedicated Christian. Our society is not a friend to God or all those that are God's own. Whether we like it or not, there is a cause. In verse 11, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." This persecution for Christ's sake is often referred to in other countries. But as the time is drawing near, we can see it's coming closer and closer. into our churches, into our homes. We finally know, I think, what it means to be persecuted. We have been living in a country, and I think I could say for my parents that Christ wasn't taught in school. It was a given. And so we see that our world is coming closer, and they want to persecute. Verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Yes, suffering for Christ is a privilege and should cause joy. And we might ask, what kind of a joy is that, being persecuted? Well, what is that joy? Jesus says, for great is your reward in heaven. No, it is not comfortable now, but if we endure, we will have a reward in heaven. And I think it is a time that we as believers together support one another, and not to cause divisions amongst ourselves. Let us be a church that shines for Jesus Christ. We are under observation by Christians and non-Christians alike. It matters how I live my life, not just to myself, but to many others as well. In Matthew 5 and 14, verse 14, it says, a city that sits on a hill cannot be hid. A city. And Christ makes a reference here that the life of our godly characteristics cannot be hid, but it can be seen by many people. And if I would take a cardboard piece, hang it in front of the headlights of my car, the light would still be on, but it wouldn't help us a whole lot. And neither would others be able to see it. That's why Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Yes, we as Christians, we can evaluate our own lives by looking at the Beatitudes, by reading, by the fruits of the Spirit. And we can find so much more encouragement and instruction throughout Scripture. And many people have come to the light, have been encouraged by someone who cared enough to influence them in the right direction. Yes, for some it comes quite natural. Others need to work a bit harder at it. But we should not think of it, and I only need to look at myself. There is so much room for improvement. But may we all be encouraged to evaluate our own hearts and to remember that we are the salt of the earth and the light of the world. So let us make sure that the salt can add flavor to our words and our actions, and that our light may pierce through the darkness of this world, and that we might bring this light to others around us. And if we do this, others will be blessed. And we know that the greatest blessing for us will come when our Lord and Savior will say to us, well done, home which I have prepared for you. Yes, especially in the time coming, it is so important that we are a witness to this world. We see so many that are lost. And very often, our first reaction when we see someone, sometimes we think he has it coming. We all have it coming. The sins for everyone. And we need to come to the point where we look through the eyes of Jesus, where we can also feel that Jesus has paid the sins for everyone. He does not want anyone to be lost. And when Jesus was on this earth, his ministry was about 3 years, and then he left. He didn't just leave, but he left also us some instructions. Go ye into all the world. He didn't have a plan B. That was it. We are it. We need to go. And so the next time when we reach for that salt shaker, let it be a reminder to us that we are the salt of the earth. And ask ourselves, how can I add flavor to somebody's life today? And when we flip that light switch, ask ourselves, how can my light brighten someone's day today? And it is my prayer that today's word may encourage men. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the comfort of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us unite for closing prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to the end of our service this morning, we thank you for your presence and spirit, leading and guiding us. We thank you for the opportunity of serving you. What a privilege to be an ambassador for the one that created everything and controls everything. May we be the salt and the light that you want us to be, and be willing vessels to help further your kingdom, bringing your word to the lost. We ask that you heal the sick according to your will. Comfort those that are lonely or have lost a loved one, your love and your peace. And Lord, we also pray that Bishop Isaac Fair and his family will have traveling mercies as they leave for home. Heavenly Father, we pray all of this in your Son, our Savior's name, Jesus. Amen. We always have an opportunity to pray, not only here, but also at home. We can call upon the Lord in the morning and evening, and whoever is able, let us once again kneel in prayer. May the Lord hear prayers, be merciful unto us.
Take your blue hymnal and turn to number 146, Wonderful Story of Love. 146.
Story of love. Tell it to me again, wonderful story of love, wake of the immortal strain, angels with rapture announce.
Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jake, for the wonderful message. A reminder of who we are to be as salt and as light. Just March 9th, 10 a.m. in Altona. And the topics are listed here in the bulletin. And just to mark your calendars for the Sunday School Easter program is scheduled for Sunday, March 24th at 2:30 p.m. The program practice will be on Friday, March 22nd, and at 7:30 p.m. And then Passion Week is coming up. That is for March 27th and to Thursday, March 28th. Both services starting at 7 p.m. And coffee and snacks served after Thursday, March 20th. The Sunday School is still looking for some more help as Sunday School teachers. So if you feel the nudge, just go and talk to the superintendents in Sunday School. They'd be happy to greet you and share what Sunday School is about. And also, they're still looking for someone to help out with Dawson. He is... He's a young boy. He needs a one-on-one attention, and he's wonderful. He's sometimes sitting up front here, and he sings his heart out. And they're looking for someone to just be with him in Sunday School, just as one-on-one, as a helper. And then also, which is not in the bulletin this morning, is the Youth Easter program. It's planned for March 17th at 3 p.m. And this is an Altona Sunday School. Let's keep all these families in our prayers that have lost a loved one, losing someone, and having that empty chair around the table. It leaves a deep impact. So let's keep everybody in our prayers. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Henry, for those announcements. I want to thank you all for coming this morning and partaking in our service and song and prayer, and the Lord will truly bless you for that. Let us unite for the benediction. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. May you go in the peace of the Lord.